You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Late sparks and VAR controversies surround Tottenham's 2-1 victory at home over Liverpool. Pep Guardiola can only watch from the stands as his Man City side dropped their first points of the season in a 2-1 loss at Wolves. The red half of Manchester didn't fare much better, as Manchester United lose to Crystal Palace 1-0 at Old Trafford, and Ollie Watkins delivers a hat-trick as Aston Villa rout Brighton 6-1. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Well, my friend, if ever there was a weekend for a podcast, for delving into the detail of the Premier League, this was the weekend. We have to start with the biggest story, the most drama. I think one of the biggest incidents we've had in current years in the Premier League was the disallowing of what we now know was a Luis Diaz goal in the game at Spurs against Liverpool, the high-profile game at the weekend, and the PGMOL coming out and saying that VAR made a human error. They acknowledge their mistake.
Significant
human error. They acknowledge their mistake and that the Diaz goal should have stood.
I think this is the low point of the 4 years and a bit now of VAR, Rob, isn't it? Because of the nature of this error, because it wasn't the subjective ones are different and there's been errors always, and sometimes when they go too far, there'll be an apology from Howard Webb. Correct. There's sometimes been mistakes made in offsides, Rob, where they put the lines on the wrong person or whatever.
Yeah.
This is even a bigger error than that the VAR in this game didn't know that the on-field decision was offside.
Yeah. And they thought
it was a goal on-field, so they were asked to check the offside line. They had a quick look. Yep, he's onside.
Check complete. Is the phrase,
And that was where the confusion was, because that wasn't what was given on the field of play. The referee on there, to be fair, left totally exposed. And Liverpool, you know, should have been 1-0 up. That's a point where I think they've done a 10 men at that point. Yeah, we'll get onto that as well. That's one of the biggest misjustices, Rob. And listen, I'm going to say this, but I ever want to see it happen.
Yeah.
That's the closest I've felt to almost feeling like they should replay the game.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want that to happen.
No.
But it's the closest I've felt to it, given how bad an error that was.
Well, I go down the road of it, and I agree totally with what you say. In terms of the lowest point, I think because of the high-profile nature of the game, because of what we saw, because everybody, you know, we did the game. Let's just roll it back. We did the broadcast. We get the freeze frame of the shot where Diaz is running through. The last defender, Mickey van der Ven, looks like it's his leg. And we're thinking, he's onside. But then we're always led to believe that VAR has different angles, they're drawing on things.
Because we've made little faux pas, little mistakes in the past where we're trying to almost put our own lines on and assuming, hang on a minute.
It's not the right angle, and where's the
And you've got to be careful with that, because we haven't got the technology to draw the lines properly, so we have to be a little bit careful.
We have to be, but in fairness, what we did say is, to the naked eye, this doesn't look right, but PGMOL are saying they'll send us the relevant sort of pictures of it down the road. Now, that never happened, and we now know what the cause was and VAR. So there's two things that come up to me. The first is, well, you say it's the lowest point, and I don't disagree, because I think because of the nature and the intensity and everybody watching the game, etc. I just think it undermines many decisions that have gone on in the past that you go, was that one right as well? Or have they made a mistake on that one? But, you know, how many times has this happened in the past that we haven't known? And it worries me for the future, Rob, that every time now we see a line drawn, we kind of question, has he got the right person? Are they agreeing?
Communicating right. Yeah.
And I haven't got the solution. Well, maybe the semi-automatic move to AI.
That is going to be the solution, I feel.
That is the solution. But from where we are with the current setup, you said you almost felt like it could be replayed. I almost felt like it was one of those situations where, Rob, the VAR know that the mistake has been made because they've said he's onside. The goal should have been given and wasn't. I almost feel that the referee should have the power within. So VAR go to the referee down in England, and the VAR goes, no, you've got that wrong. He was onside. It's definitely a goal. And be able to stop the game within. That could happen in 10 seconds. And I know it opens a can of worms and it's not something I particularly want, but if that gets it right...
Because the VAR is
sitting up there knowing the mistake has been made, Liverpool haven't got the goal, and we're carrying on as if everything's normal.
Sorry, just to throw the context around that, because as soon as the free kick for offside was played, which happened pretty quickly, then you're not meant to go back after the game's been restarted.
There should be special circumstances where... And I'm not just saying... I'm saying that, A, because of Liverpool, and it changed the game, and it had been a different game, and Liverpool's unbeaten run and all that. But if this is Tottenham, Rob, and Tottenham are in a situation, I'd say exactly the same thing. It isn't about any club.
No,
it's about
not.
Getting to the right decision. And if 10 seconds after the ball's been kicked on the free kick, the referee's able... Because the referee must have known, and the VAR have known, the referee must have known... That he's made the wrong decision.
No, because the referee thinks VAR they were backing up his...
Correct, but as soon as they take the free kick, the guy in VAR down in England knows that that's not the correct thing. I'm sure he must have said to referee, or do you think he hasn't said anything?
Yeah. So what you're saying is that looked like a free kick for offside. Yeah. No, it was
like
fine.
Everybody just
fine.
Carried on and just say, if we carry on, they won't notice.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, we had a long chat today on our air about it, Rob, and we did straight after the game yesterday. We kind of looked at it and wow, this kind of looks onside, waiting for confirmation. Yeah. And then that came when we got off air yesterday about the mistake that they made. I don't want to go on about this, Rob, but for those four, we understand it's four people.
Four people.
And we went to Stockley Park, by the way. Yeah. We went there and saw how they kind of did this.
Yeah.
There's four people. And within those four, they didn't realise that the on-field was communicated badly.
Yeah.
Maybe there was words from the referee. Like, I don't know, I just don't get it. Because we look at the pictures, we see the linesman like that with his flag up. And
Luis Diaz not
celebrating. And he stopped the celebration. Yeah. We saw a shot of the flag, a camera of the flag going up. And it's like everybody realised that on-field is offside, apart from the most important people.
Mm.
And the VAR crew. So a really bad day for them.
Yeah.
It's a bad day for Howard Webb, a guy that came in, Rob, and was all like, we're going to make this better. Great reputation. He's a great guy. He was a great referee, brilliant record as a referee, good talker.
He's under pressure a bit now, Rob.
He is under pressure.
And his group are under a little bit of pressure now.
The semi-automatic, we saw it worked brilliantly at the World Cup.
Yeah.
My understanding is that it's being used in the Champions League, also in Serie A. Mm. The Premier League... clubs, by the way, everybody, it's not the PGMOL, the Premier League clubs voted not to bring it in.
Yeah. Do they not
for this
feel
season?
It's developed
there must be something about it that isn't, they feel it's not quite ready, whether some of the stadiums have to have extra. I don't know, it's for the cameras and stuff. But we saw it work in the World Cup, and it's like, this is so
long,
quick.
Yeah.
It's brilliantly done, super quick. You'd lose the time, added time would be less because you're not looking at lines and drawing lines. Yeah. It would save that as well.
Takes out the human error, doesn't it?
Takes out the human error on that.
The other thing I would say on that, Rob, is we've got the best league in the world. Look at what we're going to talk about. Yeah. Look at the quality. Get the best refereeing system you can in the world to back it up.
Yeah, and the staff, whether it's retraining new people. You know, there's quite a few now mistakes that have been made where there's been apologies. you know, we're almost at the point where we need a VAR for the VAR. You know, and that's
specialist, Rob, top class specialist who are delivering the thing.
What's Ron stuff, mate? Should we continue with the controversial moments in the game? Should we do that? We'll get to the football and stuff that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was Curtis Jones, Rob, and it's fairly early in the game.
Mm.
And this split opinion from former players and from pundits about what this was. Ali Dixon was pretty strong in commentary, thinking that it was a genuine attempt to win the ball, that his foot was on the ball, it followed through, and it unfortunately caught the player. It was Yves Bissouma, wasn't it, the player?
Yves Bissouma was a player,
I saw it as a clumsy skim the top of the ball, and when you see the studs with a straight leg and the studs up, hit the shin, and his leg kind of bow a little bit, his ankle turned over on the base of that force, I just thought it was a red card.
Yeah, I would agree, Robin. And I think the important thing to say here is that we work together, but we don't necessarily have the same view. We see things from different points, and it isn't that we ever collude or say, "What do you think?" And we both get the same answer. I thought exactly the same. I do feel as though, and I respect everybody's view and opinion, and the Lee Dixons and others around the world who said, you know, they thought he bounced off the ball, and I get that, and I understand that, Rob. But eventually, the studied boot is high on the shin. It's forcing the leg back. Yeah. It's endangering the safety of an opponent. That's a red card.
Yeah.
Now, I read it. I was, as ever, you always read up after and watch shows and get other people's opinion. And heard a good phrase, and it's a phrase I picked up last week when somebody took. I think it was Andros Townsend was doing commentary, co-commentary recently, and he said that's a modern day penalty where people run up, stutter, put it in the net. He said that's a modern day penalty. I thought yesterday is a modern day red card. I think sometimes when we've played, Rob, maybe in our day, you could get away with that. Oh, I got a bit of the ball and you get a thing. If you are adhering to the letter of the law, if the referee's looking, did that endanger the safety of opponent?
That's it. It doesn't matter whether you meant to.
No, the
intent was taken out the law a long time ago on those challenges. Does it literally endanger the safety? You know, and listen, I also understand that there's other challenges that happened to endanger, because that's the nature of the game. It does have challenges like that.
Yeah.
But when there's a direct challenge and I think the studs up, it's regarded as being reckless. And that for me. But again, even if they are, whatever they do on that, that's a subjective call, Rob, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
And those ones, sometimes you're going to get it, sometimes it's going to go a different way, which isn't ideal, by the way, when you've got VAR. Was it clear and obvious error, actually? If it was on field was a yellow card, I guess the VAR thought that's a clear and obvious error. And he went, the referee goes over, and he was there for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
He saw it like, you're right, this is something I missed. So, others might argue, was it that bad of a core carry-on play?
People saying when you see the still, it always looks worse, which I do get. But, listen, I just think in the current kind of climate and the referee, I think the referee would have been wrong not to give a red, having seen what he saw.
So, quickly on the other one as well, Diogo Jota gets yellow-carded twice within
a minute and a half.
I mean, I think we did the highlights again on the show today, and
the first one is
that
hard.
To
it's
be a
so
yellow
harsh.
Card it's is so harsh.
And because of that, and I know that referees shouldn't, but because of the first one, I almost feel the second one, if he'd have gone, Diogo, you've just done that, you've done that, I could have got you, be careful, I would have been okay with that.
Totally.
I don't feel like the second...
But I don't often like that, Robert.
No, I don't often like it.
I'm a bit of a black and white guy.
Based on 90 seconds of the first one that he doesn't have any contact, virtually, Udogie goes down. The second one, he comes in, it's not the worst challenge in the world, and he can have a word with him. I think if he's had a word with him and carried on, I don't think anybody's going crazy today. Diogo Jota should have got two yellows.
Mm.
I just think that was a little bit more common sensey. Come on, Diogo.
But
it is what it is. He gets. I mean, it's hard to argue that it's not a second yellow on its own merit.
On its own merit, I suppose.
And there
the
we
first
go.
The first one's really harsh. He hardly touched him.
Liverpool are down to 9, Rob, but not out of the game.
No, you know what? And at 10 men, I thought they were good. This was, oh gosh, how do you say it? But I was impressed with Liverpool.
Yeah.
This game, and there's a ton of drama and like really, really like unlucky. Well, is that even strong enough? Like, they were. That's a bad outcome for Liverpool, given what we just talked about.
Yeah, disastrous.
But their football was good. When it was 11v11, they found a lot of space.
They
looked strong. They had a lot of areas to play. Mm. We talked about the midfield area might be a situation. Liverpool looked absolutely fine with that. Szoboszlai can work his socks off getting back. Yeah, McAllister puts his foot in. And I thought they look, when you're watching a game, it's like, oh, wow, there's Liverpool going to score soon.
Yeah.
And then it goes to 10 and everything else happens. Were you? I mean, it's hard to evaluate much else, Rob, isn't
yeah,
it, given what we saw?
It takes so much away from the game, and then you lose two men, and then they've got to get one. But still, Rob, even with nine, there was still a threat of counter-attack with Salah's pace.
But it's hard, isn't it, with nine?
Yeah, it is.
You've got flipping eight, five and three, wasn't it?
I still wasn't thinking
they were going to concede.
I kind of felt they were OK.
Yeah.
Back four, I thought the back four was solid. Gomez grew into the game. Matthew and Van Dijk were solid enough. Robbo was sitting in. And in the end, I just think lack of numbers, a little bit of fatigue. Robbo getting out. It wasn't able to get out to Porro, who can put a ball in. Matip's a little bit tired.
So what do you think? John Matip, again, I've heard other people say, you know what? What's he meant to do? The ball's fizzed across. He sticks his leg out. I tend to think, if that's in, and I know it's not the first half an hour of the game, but should he have got himself in line with the ball and not try and lash at it, just try and make good contact? Was it a tired lunge?
I think that's an easy thing to say to somebody who's, you know, when you're watching and you're not, listen, he's been defending.
I know he has.
For 20 minutes. He hasn't quite had the right concentration on his connection with the ball as it's come. He's gone to just put his left foot and think, I'll put this out for a corner and we defend the corner. Mm. And he's not had that real care where your head's down, you know. How many times have we seen, you know, Van Dijk do it and John Terry do it? And, you know, that's what they do. Mm. They don't make them. You know, Matip's a different type and he's just a little bit tired. He's a bit looser. He's a bit less concentrated. And because of that, it hits his shin. And, I mean, it's a killer moment. I mean, Alisson, by the way, had come up with two or three
brilliant
games.
Yeah.
Magnificent saves.
Yeah.
That you know, many keepers in the league don't get this. I mean, his form recently, Newcastle away, brilliant save, Almiron.
Yeah,
last weekend, brilliant sail again. His back shot
on top of his game
as the team were. I was so disappointed for Liverpool because I thought there was also Jurgen Klopp. I did a little, you know, listen to his presser and that, and it's like new Liverpool. It's new energy. It's Liverpool 2.0.
Yeah.
Don't keep comparing us with old Liverpool. This is my...
Yeah.
And I saw that, Rob.
Yeah,
and I felt that
evolving.
A little bit.
It's definitely
felt
evolving.
That, and yeah. And that's where I felt most sorry for them in that they were robbed, really.
Yeah, they were robbed, yeah. And I hate it when there's a man sent off. Mm. Particularly in a game like this where there's so much interest in terms of how they play, how they play, who's going to win that area, that matchup's a good matchup. And when that goes taken away with a man less, I'm like...
Oh. Lee said straight in commentary, didn't he? Spoils the game.
Yeah, it kind of does spoil the game. Now, that's not to say that...
Yeah, it's
of
not
course,
the right
these things got to happen.
Yeah,
it's just so disappointing for everyone at home and us when we analyse the key factors in the game, less so. One factor, Rob, I just want to talk real quick, was Maddison.
Yeah.
And Richarlison and Heung-min Son, that goal.
Mm.
And that was a little insight into what Spurs have been great at.
Yeah.
Maddison coming way off the line, like way into the midfield area.
Yeah.
Gets turned and he's got the ability, Rob. Those defence splitting passes from him is brilliant into Richarlison.
He's one of them, Rob, isn't he, who with better players looks better because he runs are happening.
The runs of time. It was a great run from Richarlison.
Yeah, like, no disrespect, and he played in a good Leicester team, but it was a little bit more functional, the old hit body of things. He's got better, clever, more cultured movement around him, and he stepped up.
I feel like that. I mean, there's a not opening a can of worms, but the best signing of the summer, James Maddison?
He's definitely in there. I mean, James Ward-Prowse would have
Szoboszlai would
be in the conversation, but you're not far off.
So... Yeah, I just wish we'd be talking more definitively about these two teams, given what we saw. But I'm afraid what happened was...
Sorry to just stop there, though.
All
but
right.
Are we not slightly... And I nicked the phrase from James Maddison, certainly not my words, his, like, not so Spursy. Like, you know, it could have drawn 1-1.
I don't like that term anyway.
No, I don't like the term anyway. And he was saying, and I'm saying it in the way that... We should forget about that. As Ange Postecoglou's team, if this is Pep, they find a way. They've won the game. They're unbeaten. They've won the game. All right, Liverpool down to nine. They've been fortunate that Luis Diaz hasn't gone in.
Yeah.
They're unbeaten, and they've won the game. And somebody said, again, I was reading, you read around, and somebody said, that's a victory for happy football. if that's Mourinho or Conte, I'm not sure the goal goes in, because I'm not sure they push as many people forward.
Well, that's the point. Yeah. It's so different now. The whole Spursy thing is so different. The style of play is so different. The intent is so different. Yeah. The style is so different. The manager's, you know, approach to everything is so different with what he does in every moment of the game, from picking the team to picking the tactics to doing the substitutes to doing everything else. It is about possession, attacking, forward passes. That's so, so different. I mean, the Spursy thing, they're never going to go away, Rob. Because I'm telling you now, when Spurs have a little wobble, which they'll have a little
first
wobble,
thing, oh, here we
first
go,
thing, it had nothing to do with that. I don't like the term. It's lazy,
like
it, it's general,
I like that Madison's always looking to dress and say, can we forget that now? This is a different group. This is a different era. This is a different style. This is a different manager.
Yeah.
That was past. Yeah. Let's stop looking back.
And enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be in second place in the league table. They shouldn't be doing what they're doing, Tottenham. They shouldn't. New manager wasn't fancied. The top man, Harry Kane, left the football club. Yeah. You know, not a ton of new players in the window, though that after the manager was there, he brought in some good signings.
Yeah.
And players that are playing that didn't play under the previous managers.
Nowhere near.
I mean, they shouldn't be doing that.
No.
Second place right now, 7 games played, 17 points. Brilliant. Brilliant story for them. And I think for us, I love it. Like, something a little bit different, a little bit new. Unexpected Spurs to be there ahead of Arsenal right now. Am I got the right table here?
Yeah,
the right table.
Yeah.
Just on goal difference from Arsenal. Yeah. And Liverpool in fourth place after that crazy result there. But it's fun, isn't it?
Another big six club.
Yeah, playing the way that they want to play.
Let's see how the season goes, Rob. We're 7 games in.
We'll be here every step of the way.
Yeah.
So when it starts to...
we'll also be there. But great start for Spurs. Big disappointment for Liverpool.
Cool.
And big... disappointing day for VAR.
That's a big moment now. I'm sorry, mate, but just that whole controversy there, a big moment in the Premier League history.
And it's a big moment in this season. When we look back at this season, you know, depending where Liverpool are and what they're chasing
and
what they do in Tottenham,
that
could have big consequences.
Yeah.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Okay, that was a big game, Spurs hosting Liverpool. Manchester City went away to Wolves. They lost midweek in the League Cup, and Pep said, you know, well, quadruples maybe not going to happen, ain't going to happen, but, you know, treble was good last year. I think we all expected City to get the job done against Wolves, and even when they go 1-0 down, you always think, well, City will come back, end up getting back Alves with a lovely
really
free kick.
Really good free kick, yeah.
And then Heung-Chan Wang ends up getting the winning goal for Wolves in Gary O'Neill. It was a day when Pep was up in the stand, I think 3 yellow cards this season, and, you know, he was up there. We've seen him, you know, he hasn't been actually in the ground with his back injuries. Yeah. I mean, that's not affecting him in the past, so that can't be given as an excuse, but... an off day for City. Remember last week we were talking about, could they go unbeaten, Invincibles? And, I mean, this league, mate, kills all those conversations.
And of all the teams to beat them, like Wolverhampton Wanderers right now, with the little bit of turmoil really in the summer that they're in, with the financial problems, the manager change, and Gary O'Neill going in there. You know, Gary O'Neill's work continues to impress me, Rob, and it's going to be fascinating, mate. Again, I look at the league table, you know, Bournemouth's decision to get rid of Gary O'Neill for Iraola. At the moment, and we're only six, seven games in, you know, and Wolves there and the Gary O'Neill is doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for Man City, Rodri, like, we know how important he is, the ill discipline that he's out suspended now. And I noticed that Calvin Phillips wasn't selected to play, Rob, the midfield.
Yeah, Kovacic, wasn't
was Nunes and Kovacic as a two.
He did come on, I think, like, 20 minutes ago, Calvin Phillips came
in. Is it too simplistic to say Rodri's not there, so they're not as secure, they conceded 2 goals?
That was my thought. He's becoming a really important part of it.
Really important.
Where, like I've said in the past, they don't rely on any one player. That's one of their strengths. might be an argument about him.
Yeah, because when he's playing, to the other attackers, Rodgers there, we'd be okay.
Not sure when he's not there. They quite have that protection and that strength and that physicality. And if he needs to nick a goal, he can nick a goal. If he needs to stop a goal, he can stop a goal.
He can do everything.
Kovacic isn't that guy, is he?
I saw Pep afterwards was sort of saying, like, this league's hard.
Yeah.
He said it's every single week they're asking different questions. Yeah. We know they got all the games, midweek games, different league cup, Champions League upcoming as well. Yeah. It is really difficult to be competitive. And I always say it, Rob, when City or United or any big clubs come to my team, Middlesbrough, or your team, Wimbledon, or to Wolverhampton Wanderers, it's one of the biggest
games
of the season.
And you're up for everybody's
and you're up
for
it as a player because the fans are up for it. It's a full house. And it just gives you an extra 10% of energy.
Yeah. That they've got to deal with.
This is a big game. There's more focus on it. There's more media around it. There's more excitement around it. So, yeah, I'm an off day for them. Phil Foden come out of the game, Rob, as well. I think late in the second half got subbed out. It's like, again, this is that window with all the games going on, so it's hard to be super specific.
I wasn't sure whether he did come out or not. I think they thought he'd come
did
out.
They,
but he,
did he stay?
I think he might have stayed on.
Right.
Yeah, I think he might have stayed on in that one. But I think it was Nunes who
But that, out. I mean, you know, Liverpool could have, if they'd won their game, they'd go top of the Premier League. That does give others a chance and belief that they're not going to blimmin' run away with it.
Maybe some hope for the chasing pack that we can have a real race. And back to back defeats for City now, League Cup and Premier League, which is something we don't often see. Mm. Just expect them to get back to business.
Do you think the lineup wise? I know he's always going to rotate, but they have got a few injuries now, which we don't normally see.
I mean, it hasn't overly affected him in the past. And it was a day when Dawson did a brilliant job on Haaland. Dawson just decided, like, almost went man-to-man. It was old school.
Okay.
He blocked him, he one-headed, and he was aggressive. And Haaland didn't have a great day, I've got to be honest. He had, I think, one shot in the 90 minutes. Mm. You know, he hasn't scored. He didn't come on in the League Cup. They decided not to put him on even when they were down. Yeah. Didn't score, you know. Whatever we keep saying about him, he nicks goals that win you games or get you draws. Mm. If he's not on, it's a big miss. I mean, Alvarez is stepping up at the moment.
And back to your point about relying on City don't want to have to rely on individuals.
Individual,
whether it's Haaland or whether it's Rodri or whatever it might be. So the other team in Manchester, Robbie, should we move on to Manchester United? Old Trafford, I mean, crikey, we could have a podcast on our own about Manchester United right now.
Well, they play in the League Cup, they play Crystal Palace, they batter them.
Yeah, they play really well.
3-0 battery, and Amrabat comes in, I watch a game, loved it. Mount had 45 minutes next to Casemiro, things are looking good, and so on, and you're thinking, well, he's got a few changes. His back four was a little different. Gay and Anderson came back in. Ward coming at right back from the game. Eze started. And there was no Edward up front. Mateta started up at the top of the pitch. So when you look 11 for 11, team for team, there should only really be one winner. And I know that Roy sets his team up. He's a great tactician. He understands opposition. I think it's five straight times now he's played at Old Trafford. He's unbeaten. 3 wins, 2 draws. Mm. You still think Man United will get the job done? It looked like, to me, I always felt like one of my notes on Man United at Palace was decent win today and it kickstarts the season again. It almost felt like, okay, we've had that League Cup.
Well, the League Cup, that was a feel-good factor.
The League Cup was a feel-good and then a good win in the league and that, okay, United are getting back to...
All I saw in this game was scrappy. Scrappy football. Scrappy. At Old Trafford against the Crystal Palace team that it's been improved. It's a little different now, and they got some decent players. They're missing some of their important players. Man United are on the back of a good victory. Eric Ten Hag's been there plenty of time now.
18 months.
Pelestri, 18 months. Pelestri that's looked good in moments and was deserved a start. Rashford on the left hand side. You got Bruno Haaland, the striker they've been trying to get. Casemiro, Mason Mount's back into the side. Fine. Yeah, there's defenders that are out. There's three left backs.
Amrabat
was playing left back. Where he's
coming to midfield. Playing,
So how is it scrappy, Rob? How is it scrappy? And how is it not now where Ten Hag loves the ball? Is like I'd expect him to be zipping the ball around, quick football, patterns of football. And I know when there's injuries, it's not easy to. But it's not going how we all expected it to go. But on the back of last year's third spot.
I don't know. It's 18 months since he's taken the football club, and I said on the show, Rob, I still really don't know who and what Man United are. Now he talks about wanting more possession. Now I've seen that we saw a bit of structure last season and organisation, but I still, as a team, if they're going to play a 4-2-3-1, you know. some teams that play that, those wide players are players who are going to go on, and the number 10 is going to play a little bit like Spurs with Madison, and you're going to get play off them. They're not groove like Postecoglou's done that. So it's a different 4-2-3-1. Okay, is it more hard working in midfield? You know, is Bruno the guy who's going to be a creative force? You know, are we getting fullback? Are fullbacks coming inverted? Are they going down the side? All this, Rob, I'm still 18 months in, I'm still not sure what Man United are. We'll talk about Villa and we'll talk about Brighton in a moment. And Villa beat Brighton 6-1, and we'll talk about that game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the two coaches have ingrained a style. 18 months in, and I'm a Ten Hag fan because I think he got the right understanding of what's needed at the club. But I don't know what's Man United going to look like under Eric Ten Hag.
So, which is a little damning on the coach then.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I know there's stuff around the club, the ownership, and some of the players' misbehaviour or alleged misbehaviour, etc.
Yeah.
So you're also saying that even the football side of it has got a bit muddled.
Yeah,
and a bit
it's
muddied.
Almost similar to everything else at the football club. It's muddled. It's not clear. There's no clarity. There's no understanding. When Manchester United get the ball at the back, how are they working it through the team?
Well, I really enjoyed the way they did it last year.
So let's move on now. We're 6-8 months on. How are we doing it?
The Burnley game.
Casemiro looks more like an attacking midfield player now than I've ever seen him as a holding six.
It looked like the desperation part of their game came in real early.
Yeah.
And like, oh God, you know, we've got to find a way to win. Casemiro, you can score sometimes. You get up there. I mean, it was real off the cuff stuff. My notes from the Burnley game the weekend before, Rob, they grind out against Burnley. My note is here. It still feels odd to me. I'm sure I said it in the podcast. It still feels odd to me, even though it's a respectable and it's a hard. I mean, a grind out victory against Burnley, Burnley possessing the ball. Yeah. It's just an odd look. So today, interested in seeing them front foot now.
Yeah, at home,
particularly given the midweek against Palace, same thing. So, yeah, I mean, from day one, Rob, I guess there's a lot of disappointments, right? We can talk about Chelsea and a few others.
Yeah.
Man United sit in a 10th spot after us being at Old Trafford the first weekend of the season against Wolves, where
they got outplayed
a little bit.
And 1-1.
It hasn't really got much better, and I don't know how we can continue to. Not that I want to really heavily criticise the manager, but how have they moved so many steps back?
Yeah.
Given the window, which they change a goalkeeper, bring in Mason Mount, they spend a ton of money, they get a striker they've been looking for a long period of time. It should be better.
Yeah,
than last year.
A number of the players who were playing last year are not playing as well as they were. That's one. The players who they bought in have not necessarily moved them on anywhere. Mount, Gordon, Stillsinger, and goalkeeper.
Yeah. And you've got the say Jadon Sancho.
Issue, Mason Greenwood issue.
Yeah. Should we just quickly go on the Jadon Sancho? Yeah. Don't have to go big on it.
Yeah, but I feel strongly sexual.
Yeah, we had a I feel strongly sexual on it. And basically, it's kind of crazy, this conversation we had. Like, how is this helping the club right now?
Yeah. We both agree that the impasse, the no talking, is not helpful for all parties. So who's it for more on? I think you.
I'm not necessarily. I just think that there are adults here, professionals.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. It shouldn't be the manager that goes to Jadon and say, "Come on, Jadon, let's talk this out." I think the players, the manager and Jadon Sancho should sit in a room. Okay, like let's figure this out. Yeah, what happened here?
So why isn't Jadon knocking on his door tomorrow morning, after seeing the game, having to go there and watch, be sitting in the stand and going, "Gaffer, I've made a mistake. I can help you get out of this situation."
That's the optimum.
What do I need to do?
Yeah. But that's what he should be advised to
correct.
He should be advised.
I think that's what you and I, as professionals who've been in the game, listen, I had to fall out with the managers and had to go and have difficult conversations.
And you're saying that, and up to the manager, he's trying to instill the discipline. It's the player should go and say, okay, Gaffer, let's talk this out. All I'm saying is. From the manager, come on. You can be bigger than being a stubborn. You go and train with the kids. You go and get dressed where the kids are. Because until you... I just think that's a little old school, Rob.
I get it, and I do believe, and again, I'm only saying that he has said things before. I think there's a couple of times, you said to Jordan, your timekeeping's not great, things... And then all of a sudden, that, because results aren't going well, I have to change and go, come on, Jordan, would you mind?
I know.
Our difference of opinion was, for me, Jadon Sancho,
right.
Get off your backside, go and see the manager right. And get playing
and
again
for
Manchester. This is Manchester United Football Club, by the way.
And for me, this is not helping anybody, this standoff, this stubbornness from both sides. Both.
The only thing I would say, having said that, if he goes getting back on the team, he hasn't been playing that well either, by the way. And then if he makes a first 11, so that's also something he's got to do. But it was an interesting discussion, and I'm sure our listeners and viewers will have their own view.
Yeah.
But, you know, modern-day management is different now, and maybe you've got to be a bit different to get the best of your players.
And finally on it, you know, it's easy for me and you to say what he should do, Jadon Sancho, right?
Of course,
he's his own man,
yeah.
And players are different, and individuals are different, and humans are different. And we both want to say to him, listen,
if I'm anywhere near him,
give yourself a shake, go and see the manager.
Do you know, if I was his teammate, I'd do the same. I'd go out and I'd say, come on, let's have a bit of dinner. Jade, you got to go and do this, mate. You've got to go. Because it's a stain on your career and your reputation. You're at Manchester United Football Club.
You're taking this stance at this club.
At this time.
Yeah, when they need everything they can to get to try and help. So.
Yeah, interesting debate. Hopefully over the course of the season we'll have a few more of those IFS.
I feel strongly. We'll see.
Yeah, see what else comes in. Let's move on to a bit of a story, I think, that's turning out. Unai Emery and Aston Villa. 6-1 winners at home to Brighton. Hat-trick for Ollie Watkins. McGinn masterclass from midfield. Brilliant. I know you want to talk about him. Mm. But really interesting game, Rob, because I think we both agreed this one kicked off. Two well-coached teams, two teams who know what they're doing. I think, not trying to get to similar spaces, both in Europe, both lost in the League Cup this weekend. If somebody said to me before the game, there's going to be a 6-1 winner here, I would probably have said Brighton would win the game 6-1. I think Brighton have that capacity. If they get you on one of their days and they're playing all that football, I would have said Brighton. So, I'm saying that as a compliment to Aston Villa in terms of where they are, what they're doing under this manager is incredible. They only Man City have got more points than this calendar year. So the end of last season, the start of this season, only Manchester City have got more points than Aston Villa.
I got to say, I'm really, really enjoying what's happening at Villa.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because Brighton, there's many, many teams that have really struggled to handle the different ways that Brighton build up. Whether it's through the middle, whether it's through the fullbacks, whether it's they roll balls into strikers when everything else has failed, the goalkeeper chips the ball in there. Villa were ready for all aspects.
Correct.
And we looked at it really closely, and the two front players for them, Diaby and Watkins, played 10 yards apart, so they couldn't, from the goalkeeper and the centre-backs, couldn't play through the middle.
Yeah.
They go wide, okay? So the strikers then shove them that way. Mm-hmm. The next ball has to be infield.
Yeah.
Konsa and Pau Torres ready for that ball up to the front players.
Yeah.
They win the ball back. They strangled them.
Mm.
And the high line enables that.
Yeah,
now, there's a risk to the high line.
Of course.
The first weekend of the season, I remember saying, this high line from Villa when Newcastle popping the ball in behind. So there's an inherent risk with it.
Correct.
And a bad day when they can't press in midfield or the structure's not right,
the little flip over the
top to quick forwards is a real, real problem. Yeah. Brighton never tried that. That's the main criticism of Brighton. But in terms of the setup, the high line to squeeze the game.
Yeah.
So just as every, high line is almost a dirty phrase in football, Rob.
Yeah, people don't like it because all the space line behind you.
But if it's done with quick forward defenders, organised pressing, the benefit is that when you play high line, that means everybody's together.
You keep them in their half of the pitch.
Yeah, and there's everybody's it's compact, it's tight, and it's hard to play around it.
Mm.
So that, just in terms of the tactical setup, well done, Unai Emery, because that side of it worked well. And you've got other players that showed up, and some of the football and the way that the fullbacks create the width, not the wide players in midfield. Mm-hmm. That was McGinn and Zaniolo. They could come inside.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go on about that because it can be a little bit dry, the tactical side of it. But for our listeners and viewers out there, it's different. And that's why we look forward to the game Brighton and Villa, because they do things very differently and very, very well.
What's great about Aston Villa, and again, you're doing your prep for the games, that I read a couple of interviews. It was Konsa, who I thought was excellent again, centre-back. in terms of that high line and knowing that how they're going to play. And it was interesting that he said, we have a setup for Chelsea that we worked on last weekend. They won 1-0. We'll have a different setup for Brighton, which you say is not lining them central, letting the ball go wide. Yeah. Gets
like,
played
like tweaks to their grand
So they have the brand blueprint of how we're going to play and what we're going to do, but we need to tweak this because it's Brighton and they're going to play this way.
Yeah.
And that's what top-class coaching is all about. That's the difference between Steven Gerrard and Unai Emery, right there.
And it's been an obvious improvement since the manager's gone there. Just on individuals, Rob, and I want to take this opportunity to bring in my underappreciated performer of the weekend. And it's not going to be Ollie Watkins. I think he's pretty appreciated in general what he's doing.
Maybe not the England manager.
Maybe not.
He was there at the game, actually, Southgate. Maybe
it's a good time to get a hat-trick in front
of
him. The internationals. But my underappreciated is John McGinn. And I know he's the captain of the football club. But if you watch this game back and look at the highlights, which we did many times, he was involved in at least three of the six goals directly by doing something that was outstanding, but really effective. Through passes, crosses, runs, combination with the front two players. And he doesn't look like your flipping Rolls Royce of a midfield player. He's a stocky little guy, big backside. He can't half play. He can't half play. He's not a winger. But he still has a massive effect on the attacking player, Aston Villa, because of his work inside, right? He's not a wide midfield player. Mm-hmm. He's an inside attacking guy that gets in those little spaces. Yeah. And his game, I thought, was outstanding. And I'm sure I get plenty of pats on the back because it was pretty outstanding this weekend. But a player in general, John McGinn, he's a good little footballer and had a brilliant game.
Yeah, it's a great shout because I think if you talk about Villa, you get caught up in the great goalkeeper, who's a big personality.
Yeah,
the centre-backs and Tyrone Mings. The front two, Watkins and Diaby and Tatuai and Buendia and all those. You sometimes forget about John McGinn. And you're right, Robbie, to compliment him. And we spent a bit of time with the summer series. Lovely guy, really into his football, loves being captain of the football club. He's a bit throwback. A Scottish player who's, different build, good engine, got good energy, lovely left foot, sees a pass, old school, sees a pass.
He's technical.
Technically he's good, really good. And, it's a good shout because he's the kind of player who, when you talk about Villa, you often just brush past, John McGinn's one of them. John McGinn's really important to Aston Villa. And good shout for an underappreciated performer of the week.
What about Brighton, Rob? Just...
Off day all round.
Too many games for them?
Maybe too many games and rotations. He changed it at half-time, put three subs on... didn't he? Pedro came on, Ansu Fati came on.
Lamptey came on.
And Adingra
came on.
Later. Got a little bit more pace. Maybe Luke should try and go over the top. It's interesting, isn't it? Because, the European games, which is a great adventure, Europa games, a great adventure for them. I think they've got Marseille coming up this week. But, those games are going to take the tolls and rotations are going to be interesting, keeping the quality. Evan Ferguson started with Welbeck. They came off at half time.
Can you have too many changes to a team? Can Brighton successfully rotate and still maintain the quality to win Premier League games?
It's interesting. So what I think Brighton need now to do is understand the rhythm of what European football means. The travel before, the travel after, the recovery. They're not so many days on the training ground. We're used to the certain 6, 7, 8 teams who probably know that, Rob. And it's interesting because one of my friends is quite senior at Chelsea and he talks to me about how the day before the players get there, some people are travelling, the players come, they have to get, right beds, right training place. There's lots of little stuff that we don't even think about that goes into it. But it's all new to Brighton. They haven't been there before. This is their first European campaign. So I just think getting used to all those things and then being right, to play a Villa team that are well set up is going to be hard. And this league, as Pep said, is hard week in, week out.
Yeah.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, next game. What have we got now? We're going to skim around the...
Skim around some of the results.
Yeah,
Arsenal 4, Bournemouth 0. Maybe good opposition for Arsenal, but let's give them credit. Bukayo Saka, mate. Durable productivity.
Productive.
I think, was he 22 years of age? They call him a star boy. I know you said, and then we were chatting just off air a little bit, and you said to me, is he one of them we have to be a bit careful about games? Maybe Rebecca said that, and we both said, actually, he's a bit old school, he's a bit durable, isn't he? Even if he comes up with an injury, the next week he wants to be playing on the
player.
Pitch, doesn't
love
he?
Love that. So far.
Yeah,
like, he's not getting...
it's early doors, but I couldn't love him anymore, by the way.
But also, things happen when he gets the ball.
Yeah,
I can't say he's brilliantly skillful. I can't say he's exceptionally quick. I can't say he's... Anything, it starts when he gets the ball, he's got flipping amazing. I know.
It's not bad on the inside, outside, that chip.
I know, but
when
he keeps
it pretty
simple.
Foot.
His work is like a little drop of shoulder, get to the line, come inside, play a little one turn, shoot. He's not flashy. Maybe that's what I mean to say.
Yeah.
He's not a flashy type that might catch the eye of, God, what a player.
Step over.
But he's just really effective. Really effective.
All day long.
In his goal, his header goal, Rob. Is he involved in the build up play?
Yeah.
I think he switched it out or somebody, and he runs in the centre.
Correct.
Now, wide players don't always do that.
He wants
to score goals.
And assist goals.
Modern day wide players, that's a big part of it. And he gets his little bit of fortune. Yeah. The header from Jesus comes back. He makes it 1-0. And it was an easy day for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Just like lovely. For the Arsenal fans.
Bournemouth, silly challenges. Odegaard gets a penalty. And we were with the habit situation because it was a big moment for him. He got a second penalty. I think Ryan Christie won it, coming with a really rash challenge. Odegaard had the ball, picked it up, gave it to Havertz, and then there was a shot of Odegaard sort of whispering to Saka, like, we've got to let him take this, as if, like, you know, there's a big moment. Havertz stood up. He didn't have the most confident face, I have to say, but modern-day penalty, run, stutter, found the back of the net. I scored big goals, is a big-time player. Is this the moment? Can this kick stop, please?
I mean, it's risk and reward.
Yeah,
what if he misses that?
Yeah, well, if he misses it, well, are we any worse off?
Yeah, probably. God, he can't even score a penalty.
Yeah, but most. It's kind of I think a lot of people are.
And how much
down
better off
road.
Are we? How much better off are we? He scored a penalty.
How much better are we? I don't think so. How much better off is he?
Well,
he's got his first Arsenal goal.
Much better off?
Well, maybe not in the next game or two. Has it lifted him at all? Is it 2-2? Is it 4-2? You know.
I mean, it does get the... He still ain't scored a goal for Arsenal from us lot in like 2 or 3, 4, five, 6 more games.
Yeah, whatever the stats are.
We can't say that anymore, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I don't criticise it. It's just like, why was it really...
I thought it was well played by Arsenal to get him the goal. Let's see if it does.
And
Ben White gets the 4-0 win. Bit worrying for Bournemouth. Are we going to have to take a look at them?
We are going to take a look at them. No, I know that Tyler Adams is getting close.
Tyler Adams, news.
When?
Played in the League Cup midweek, wasn't available. Possible return of hamstring, could be out significant weeks.
Now, why didn't I
read
see
that?
I
read that last night.
I got through on my notes because I wonder where he was.
Could be
and
significant.
He was listed as injured on some of
them. Could be significant time out again, which is massive.
Yeah, so... You know, this whole experiment at Bournemouth at the moment, and we ain't going to jump on anything.
Seven
games played, three losses, 4 draws, 3 points, third bottom of the table right now. And you know, we understand they thought it was going to be a coaching upgrade to bring in Areola, given what he'd done in La Liga. Let me say this, Rob. The worst team style in the Premier League is if you're trying to be expansive
and you
ain't very good at doing
with the wrong
it
players, yeah.
then turnovers, transitions, goals going against you. So that and I'm not sure whether this guy can
rein it in a little bit.
Well, change. I think he is what he is.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep going. And I ain't saying anything yet about they could still find a way to find some groove.
Of course they could,
But it's a tough start and, you know, another defeat for them. Against good Arsenal side, we got to keep a close eye on Bournemouth, given the changes there and the expectations from the ownership who spent money, good money.
Yeah.
Bad start for them.
Let's go to Goodison Park. Everton in good form, winning the League Cup. Dominic Calvert-Lewin scoring goals, three in his last three. Sean Dyche, and then what do we get? Luton come to town. It's got to be Everton win. It's got to be Sean Dyche's team. They're getting them going. History, my friend.
Yeah, made it.
First ever Premier League win for Luton Town. With Tom Lockyer, manages to force one over the line. I mean, Morris scores a nice half volley with, I mean, terrible defending from Everton. Just leave a centre forward free on the far post. Calvert-Lewin gets one back, but not in the first half. Luton hang on, get the points. I'm going to go straight to my underappreciated performer of the week, my friend. And it's the Luton Town manager. It's Rob Edwards, who's had to maybe endure a little bit of, what's the word? People...
ridicule?
A little ridicule, belittling a little Luton here, a little Kenilworth, Kenny, you know, they'll play there, look how many fans, look where it is. Almost like writing them off early. Like, they haven't won a game, they can't get a point, they haven't scored goals. It was disrespectful. And Rob Edwards has been very forceful in saying about what his team are here. They're going to come and try and add a bit of chaos. He's going to do it in his way. He's a good manager, Rob. Remember, Forest Green, he had a great reputation. Went to Watford, was there weeks, which was a typical Watford thing. Luton pick him up, he gets promotion. He wants to play football the right way, and I think he wants to be a progressive coach. He's got all the credentials. He needs to make sure they stay in this year and find the balance between playing the football that you said and being a little bit expansive and having possession, but not being too easy to play against. Now, this win, based on a draw last week, Rob, will give them confidence. 4 points. 1 point behind Chelsea. 1 point behind Chelsea Football Club. If Chelsea lose tomorrow and Luton win on Tuesday, they play that game they got against Burnley, they'd go above Chelsea.
Yeah, they're out of the bottom three right now, Luton.
Yeah.
The season finished, they stay up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really early, of course, now, but it's so important for the team, for the club.
And I've liked how he's gone centre stage and come across well and talked about his team and stayed with his team and said, we'll get better and... I like it.
Yeah,
like
a big
it.
Celebration afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's okay, isn't it?
Correct. Absolutely. Your first ever win in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, I'd still be going, mate. Great win.
Well done, Luton Town. Yeah. I mean, brilliant. Again, there's all these games going on in the same window.
Yeah, we can't see everything.
Let's take a better look when we get on one of our main game windows. But that's a massive result. And for Everton, when you just think, God, they've got some players coming back. Everton's okay. Jack Harrison's fit again.
Everton.
You know, everything else. You like everything pointed to an Everton home victory. You know, you're potentially getting towards a mid-table. Yeah. And the thought of a decent, non-dramatic season from the Toffees.
That doesn't happen.
I don't think it happens, does it?
Let's move it to St. James's Park, Newcastle United. 2-0 winners against Burnley. Beautiful goal by Almiron, and then Izak gets a penalty. I think we always felt Newcastle would get this ahead of Champions League. Big weekend, Champions League, PSG this week. And they're another club, Rob, who now have got to get used to massive games.
They've been there in the past.
They have, but with this group, with this manager, first time in Champions League for him, and you know, keeping, I think Peter Dewey made that point really early on when we were talking about the season. It's keeping that emotion and the drive for both competitions. Yeah. You know, it's going to be tough for Eddie Howe in Newcastle.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I just feel like they found goals, haven't they?
Yeah.
Last couple of games. I mean, they found their mojo. All the front players now. I think Almiron was a bit of a concern. He hadn't scored many goals. He scores a beautiful goal in this game. Izak kind of starts brilliantly, goes a little bit quiet. Mm. Callum Wilson comes in. Wilson's injured again. And Izak scores. I just felt like they're getting back to what we enjoyed last year, Rob. Mm-hmm. I've said a couple of things differently this year, that they've got to find a way to be better possession-based.
Yeah.
And do it a little bit differently to being heavy metal, a little bit like Liverpool, where they're most effective when it's really fast, high energy game because their physicality. They've got all over the from the blooming goalkeeper all the way through. But this was kind of a little bit back to that. Yeah. And good form at the moment going into European competition. And I think Newcastle is starting to see now, what are they now, eighth in the league table.
Yeah, getting up
And starting to climb again to be in areas that we expect them to do that. So it's a good victory for them. For Burnley, you know, again, I watch them sometimes. I think I kind of appreciate what they're trying to do here. Yeah. And companies knew Burnley because a lot of players, the best players from last year, have gone. They were lone players. They're rebuilding again. Started to look like, you know, played pretty well, even though lost against Manchester United. last time out. So it's starting to get concerning, Rob, when
you conceded
15 goals conceded in six, 11 minus on a goal difference, 1 point second from bottom. At some point...
Play Luton, don't they, Tuesday? Oh, big game. Yeah. Big game, two teams who come up. Chance to get their first win and then for them to kick on or for Luton.
What's your gut feeling with Vincent Kompany robbing with Burnley? Can they? Because
like him, I think he's strong enough. I think he will go the way he believes. I think because he's Vincent Kompany, he can do that.
Would he tweak if that's not working after 20 games?
Yeah, if we get to Christmas and he's really, I think he one he'll tweak. One, I think they'll do a bit in the market. I really don't think they'll want to go down again. But I think he's smart enough to tweak. Got one or two missing, hasn't he? One or two key players injuries that might change them when they get back into the team. It's hard to play. Often those teams who play that great football in the Championship struggle when they come in the Premier League, because to play that great style in the Premier League, you just need another level
and
of player.
And he himself as a coach is up against some of the brightest minds in football, and he's got to adjust when a coach makes a tactical change. He's got to, what do we do? What subs do we...
And by the way, it was something that I thought Stevie G didn't do particularly well, and I never thought Frank did particularly well. We're brilliant players. But the speed of the game, Rob, is going on. Sometimes when you're down there, and we've been at touchline, I think, sometimes it's hard to see some stuff. Everything's going so quickly, and I know you've got assistants that sometimes up in the stand and data and stats being given to you half time, but sometimes making those in-game changes, which are key.
It's defining, right, for Vincent Kompany. It's going to be defining how he learns this season.
Correct.
And that's not to say that maybe his squad ain't good enough. But we'll see. We'll see, and it'd be a brilliant achievement. As Steve Cooper of Forest, though he spent a lot more money on players.
Found a way, didn't they?
Let's see if he can do that as well.
West Ham 2, Sheffield United 0.
Sneaky, decent.
Purring a little bit. Jared Bowen with a goal, and Suchet with the other goal for West Ham against Sheffield United team, who down on their luck a little bit. No goals in two games, 10 goals conceded. I don't think he'll be given too much longer.
I don't think he will. I think that's going to be the first manager. Paul Heckenbottom.
Unless they can turn things around pretty quickly, I think they're in a bit of trouble. Unless you talk about last game we've just seen, Nottingham Forest 1, Brentford 1. Not a classic by any means, but a couple of incidents in the end gave us something to talk about. Niakate, two yellow cards, got a red card out to come off from the resulting free kick of his second yellow. Brentford go and score. Norgard with a header from Jensen. Not well defended by Forrest. Forrest then make a few changes.
Gibbs-White comes on. Whole new type of energy.
So really surprised, weren't we, that Gibbs-White wasn't involved. Now, Steve Cooper said kind of rest. Whether I don't know, it's about fatigue, the number of games, I don't know, but there's a creative spot with Gibbs-White and a confidence now that makes them look completely different when he's on the park.
Yeah, and we have the other incident, Rob, was kind of late on here where I know Thomas Frank was upset about it. Matt Turner's challenge on Johan Wissa.
Yeah.
I guess a subjective one again, but we both thought that was should have been a penalty.
That's a foul, isn't it?
It's a foul on Wissa.
If it's a defender, that's given straight away. So I'm not quite sure why, because it's a goalkeeper. A goalkeeper is allowed to get away with that action when a defender wouldn't.
Listen, we go back to VAR and like
clear and obvious error.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand VAR. Why are we having it there? Like, it was a pretty bad. It was just a missed time. Well, not missed time, but Wissa's so quick there. As soon as he gets the ball first and pokes it, the contact comes in from Matt Turner's leg, and it's like, it's harsh because he's so quick.
But it's a foul. We spoke to Matt Turner, didn't we, after the game? He came on and was great and very open, and I asked him about the penalty, and he sort of said, well, he didn't really seem, I didn't take a great touch, but, he said, I didn't fully go through with my foot. Maybe that...
Hope he's got a good lawyer. He went through enough.
But he did say he was lucky. If VAR had looked at it, it could have gone the other way, and I would have been off. But a point apiece for both these teams. Brentford, not quite clicking. Obviously, you talked about it, the the quality that they lose with Tony.
Yeah, the goalkeeper's gone now, and you've got some couple of injured players. We shouldn't assume, Rob, that Brentford are going to be mid-table. Ninth last year, I think, were they?
I don't expect them to be down fighting relegation.
I don't.
They're too good for that. Yeah. They're well organised. They've got great manager.
They can't win every week. You know, sometimes you're going to go through difficult periods. And I thought they started the game poorly. They got better.
Yeah.
They ended up being the better side, I thought, throughout after the first 20 minutes. Of course, it helps you get. When you've got an extra man as well, but they couldn't find a way through, and the game finished 1-1.
Okay, my friend, it's not something we normally do on the podcast,
but
let's just finish up. Fulham-Chelsea, it's a West London derby.
Yep.
Under normal circumstances, this would be a banker away win because Chelsea just have been too good over the past. But it's Fulham team in decent form, world coach. I don't think I had a bad start to the season. They sit 12th at the moment.
Yeah, steady. Yeah.
You know, and with a win, we'd jump up. You know, they sit above Chelsea, who... It's a Chelsea, Rob, who... I know you're doing the game with Danny tomorrow, and I know this will date, so... But just in terms of, you know, people talking about Pochettino and about money spent and you know, the XG of expected chances and, that you know, the way you look... The XG is high, yet they can't find the goals. Nicholas Jackson, 5 bookings, is not available.
That's pretty hard to do in 6 games.
Yeah. 5 bookings, I mean, incredible. More bookings than goals.
Yeah. Well, I haven't changed much on Chelsea from the first... Well, actually, after the first weekend, because the first weekend, they looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And I expected them to be not as good. And they're against Liverpool, they look pretty good. Okay, after that, they've struggled to put much together. I watched their game pretty closely in midweek.
Well, the League Cup game. Yeah.
Well, they ended up winning the game. Jackson scored, didn't he?
Yeah.
But up to the heels goal, they weren't good.
Well, their football wasn't good. Hasn't been too bad.
But then I went back and we've done a little package of chances and what's going wrong for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And when you look at some of the football, the chances they've created, some of the football's been actually really good.
Yeah.
And when you listen to Mauricio Pochettino, he's strong on that. Mm. Like, the stats say we're pretty good.
We're
it's just
okay.
the finishing,
yeah.
which is right. But I don't think the football's been that good.
Okay.
But at moments, they've carved through teams really well.
Yeah.
And the problem has been erratic finishing. Nicholas Jackson, who scored, of course, and he looks the type to get chances because he runs in behind a lot.
Yeah.
He sniffs out. I like that about him. And Raheem Sterling. So I've got a few clips of like 3 or 4 attempts. It's a snatch from Sterling or it's a chance where... was it really early on where Nico Jackson leans forward and puts it over the bar?
Okay, yeah.
He's one on one the last game, I think, and hits the goalkeeper makes a save. It's like the football, and Mudryk's been involved pretty well, by the way.
Yeah.
Mudryk has actually made some nice assisting passes and been involved. He's got on the outside, got crosses in. He looks a bit better, but the final piece is what's lacking, as well as. And Conor Gallagher's tried to do it, more guys in the box,
more
runners
more
in midfield. They're playing mostly 5 at the back.
Yeah.
I know it's only 3 mostly, but it's still wide. Wing backs are still 5 players that aren't really going to be around the goal when the ball goes in there. So, I guess it's tough times that they could do with a victory in this game. Mm. And it's the finishing. And now Nico Jackson's out suspended because of that.
Yeah,
he misses a game. He'll miss this
Nkunku
one.
Nkunku is obviously the one that they're talking about.
Or
Broya.
Broya is fit, available. Fit. Does he play Sterling as a false 9?
That's his
choices, really, I think.
Mm. Again, you know, I'll go back to the point I make. I just think it's going to have to be... This is going to be patience and, you know, there's going to have to be some rain before the rainbow. They're going to have to go through some more difficult times. And Pochettino's got to stay with them. And I think, like you said, we'll find out... We'll sift out the quality potential from the not-so-quality potential.
What, in the Chelsea squad?
In the Chelsea squad.
Yeah,
there's
some that still is my worry.
There's some
that
will come and I think there's some that will drop and they'll have to work that out.
Yeah.
And in the January window, if they can, they need to find a striker, and I know Ivan Tony's been mentioned, we talked about that, or do they have to wait till the summer, next summer, when you've got more time, you can find... It's no use going buying a striker in the summer, in January,
if it's not
and
the right
it's
guy.
Not the right guy. Because that doesn't help you. It just clogs up the system.
And when is it where the Chelsea ownership say, oh, all right, like, come on, we can't spend much more. Like,
no,
it's not an endless...
Well, we haven't had a striker, have we? That's the one area that...
Well, they've got Nkunku and they've got Jackson. But how much more can they spend, Rob, when they're sitting... I mean, they're a point out of relegation zone right now before tomorrow's game. So, Yeah, hopefully we start to see finish the chances a little bit. I still think they're going to struggle to get enough goals, given the setup, given the individuals, and that's going to be their problem. It's going to stop them running up right back into the top six of the league table.
Need Sterling now to stand up, don't they?
Yeah, he needs to be a consistent regular scorer.
Like, you know, 200 games or something coming up, you know, big chance for him. Listen, mate, we're going to wrap this up. We started with VAR, which this weekend meant very angry Robbie's. Not happy with the goal that was ruled out in that big game as Spurs ended Liverpool's long unbeaten run. Not a good week for Manchester either. The champions, they went down for the first time this season. The Reds lost for the fourth time this season as Aston Villa put six past Brighton. And congratulations to Luton Town and Rob Edwards. Premier League history for their first Premier League win. Look out for our next podcast. That's next Sunday, October the 8th, when we'll recap match week 8, when you'll see the big game as Arsenal host Manchester City in a big top-of-the-table clash. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.